Everybody, good morning, everyone. Calling the meeting order for the Housing and Transportation Committee, February 10th, 2002. My name is Sandy Stang, and the meeting will be recorded. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance with Denise Barnes. If you could please stand.
I hope you can all hear me.
Yes, we can.
Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Denise. And then Linda would like to do with a roll as quickly as possible before her tree trimmers come back.
Yeah, they're out there still. They're just quiet right now. Okay, I have on my list today Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
Myself, Denise Barnes.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick.
Present.
Helen Cameron.
Present.
Amelia Castro.
Present.
Jerry Chang.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
Present.
Juno Kim.
Yes, ma'am. Here.
Jeanette Revia.
Actually, I'm Vin Tran. I'll be taking over for Jeanette for today on behalf of Office on Aging.
And okay.
Mrs. Ray also.
Okay. Thank you. Amina Sin Matthews. Amina, are you here?
No, she's not on the committee.
Linda, I think
but
you
Carol Moore is, and you skipped Carol Moore.
Okay.
Probably doesn't that may be an old roster.
Yeah.
This is the roster I was sent last month. So I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay, yeah, it's changed. It's changed for this month. I emailed you, but it was kind of last minute. So I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. Sandy Sting.
Yes, present.
Dave Tesla.
Dave has decided to resign.
Okay. And Cynthia Thacker.
Here, and Sandy, I have contractors, so if I have to go in and out, I apologize, but
Yeah, I'll have our issues today.
Yeah, we do. Okay, Desiree, if you wouldn't mind sending, or you already said you did, right? Thank you. Okay.
Desiree, can you send that to all of us then to the new roster?
Yes, I responded to Linda's email a few minutes ago, and it included Elizabeth and yourself and Linda.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, number four, action item AB 361, review and make findings required by government code subsection 54943E3. Recommendation, continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of the emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. Do we have to vote on that?
Yes, we need a motion, and it's a roll call vote.
Okay, so it's a motion. Elizabeth makes the motion.
Second.
And second is Helen. Any discussion? Okay, then we'll call for a roll call vote, and the answer would be yes or no.
Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona?
No.
Denise Barnes?
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Helen Cameron?
Yes.
Amelia Castro?
Yes.
Jerry Chang?
Yes.
Jean Hernandez?
Yes.
Juno Kim?
Yes.
Carol Moore?
Aye.
Sandy Stang?
Yes.
Cynthia Thacker? You're muted.
Oh, she said she might have to go in and out because
okay, no worries, but that is a majority.
Okay, great, thank you. And then we'll go to item number 5, the senior non-emergency medical transportation report. And I apologize, I didn't catch your name that's replacing Jeanette.
Ben Tran.
Okay, thank you, Ben. Would you like to give your report?
Oh yeah, I am going to actually share the monitor so I can pull up the report and then inform you of the progress we have been making with SNEMT. Okay, so if you can please just wait 1 minute while I share this information. I posted screen sharing. Let's see if it'll work. All right, did I share?
It's your Alec. There it is.
There it is. Okay. Perfect. Okay. As of November 2021, there has been quite a lot an increase in trips provided by each of the three areas, Area 1, 2, and 3, with Abazar and Agewell. Trips provided by Area 1 and 3 is north for Area 3. I'm sorry, central west for Area 3 and north for Area 1. 2,574 for Area 1 at the average cost of $51.46. with the average length of 7.76 miles per length at the cost of $8.45 per the mile. Agewell Area 2, 2,364 trips provided at $46.85 per trip cost with the average length of 8.65 miles with the average cost per mile at 5.42. And then the last Abazar, Area 3, Central West, 4,322 miles, provided at $43.56 per trip with the average length of 5.16 miles at the rate of $8.44. There is a slight difference in the district area in the future for there will be a slight modification for the district area due to the district changes for the month of January. Based on the Board of Supervisors approval. So it shouldn't affect the SNMT results or anything like that for the combined TSR or F2 trips made. But that is the stats. And do you all have any questions or concerns, issues that you may want to share?
I think it looks weird. That the average trip length for Area 3 is 5.16, whereas Area 1 is 7.76, yet there's only a penny difference in the average cost per mile. Doesn't that seem weird? I mean,
yeah, I don't know how the costs are negotiated. I can bring that concern up to Jeanette to see what the cost difference is, and then we can answer that question actually in the next SCAC meeting. But it is, I can see why you may think there's a concern here with the average costs, with the penny difference.
Yeah.
But I think it's just because the trips, actually, it does make sense. The trips here.
Yeah. I was just going to say, when you have a double amount of area trip provided, you're going to decrease the cost. So that's the answer.
And then, Ben, can you elaborate a little bit about the district changes?
Yeah, so the Board of Supervisors actually submitted and approved a district change in regards of how each city is going to be represented by each Board of Supervisor. It's minor. It doesn't affect the trips necessarily, but the one that is affected the most is South County District in regards to some of these cities being redistricted to other districts. So.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Ben?
Yes, Sandy, it's Helen. Vin, one of the resident services coordinators of our properties in South County didn't know about this transportation option. And I was trying to send her to the simplest site where she could find information. What is that? And how would somebody know about this? Because she works with over 100 seniors. And if she doesn't know about it, they won't know about it.
Well, the Orange County Community Resource site actually has all that information, and it's a downloaded PDF platform that can be provided with all the information needed for Abrazar or AgeWell, depending on the district areas. I can actually send out the PDFs to whoever needs that information. Or a lot of the senior centers actually should know the Orange County district providers and what services are provided, because we actually promote that to the senior centers if they need that information also.
And well, that might be, and I do know that the senior centers should have this information and they should be promoting it, but as senior liaisons, maybe that is something that you need to stress with them, that they need to get more out. It's all about us pushing out the information.
Yeah. So I can push that out to the senior centers and have them be more aware of actually trying to promote more of the information needed and help guide. I think the guidance is probably the more difficult part due to the one-on-one connection. I'm pretty sure a lot of consumers may have difficulties with just information relayed on the phone or email. So it's a lot more difficult than one-on-one interaction. So I can try to coordinate with the senior centers to see what one-on-one interactions they can do to help assist and guide properly to provide more information.
And then it would be helpful if you could somehow, we have liaisons that handle each senior center. So if we know what you're sending, then we could make sure that they got it and that they're aware of the information. So is there a way you can send it? I don't know, should it be the Housing and Transportation Committee, or what do you suggest?
I can send it to the Housing and Transportation Committee and also to the providers that we have connected with the senior centers.
Okay, I think that would be good. Does the group agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I think that would be the best. If we could see what you're sending to the senior centers, and then we could go back and reinforce, did you get this information?
And I already talked to Elaine about doing a project that we connect as senior center chair with it. And I've just made a note to maybe add this as something that we can push for contacting them about. So,
yeah, because the more we contact them with information, the better it is.
Correct.
That's a good point, Helen, because if there's great information out there, but nobody knows about it, it's not so great.
Yeah, and if you can't, I went on the site trying to send this individual to a link, and it was a maze to get to the right information for that community. So I think the senior center contact is probably the best approach.
Yes, I think that's a good idea. Okay, great. Thanks for bringing that up. Any other questions for Ben?
I have my hand up. If you could look again at the numbers, at what I think I'm seeing, and I just want to confirm this, what I'm seeing is that Area 3 has twice as many trips, but Area 3's trips are shorter. The longer your trip, the more, apparently, that's the way I'm reading this, the more average cost per mile efficient it appears to be. That's the way I'm reading this, if someone sees it differently. So let's take a look and talk about what's on there more carefully. Because if you have twice as many people, but they're taking short trips, then maybe the method that they're being provided the transportation is not really efficient. That's the way I would read it. But someone has a different take on this, then I think we should discuss it, because the whole point is to get efficiency, savings, and provide the transportation needed by people. Does anyone disagree with what my observation? Thank you.
No, your observations are is pretty accurate, but this is also, I was reviewing all the mileage also myself. This is also based off time. So whatever time and based off the directions, some of them, a lot of the providers will not take tolls. So
pardon me, not take what?
Toll routes.
Okay.
A lot of the toll routes are actually a lot shorter, definitely.
Correct. But the toll roads are mainly in the South County. So let's go back for a second. I think you had a good point there. What did you say at the beginning? Because I'm listening. Pardon?
So it's also based off time. So whatever the most
time. Are you now talking about time of day or length of time for the trip?
Length of the trip. So if the time is shorter on the length of the trip, they would take the shorter amount of time.
Correct.
If the distance is longer.
I'm seeing what you're seeing, and that's the way I saw it, but I wanted to make sure because time of day could be different too, and that would be another interesting demographic on this. Okay, so let's go back again for a minute, because if you have twice as many trips in Area 3, that's the way I'm seeing it, practically twice as many. Okay, if you have twice as many trips, but they're going for shorter distances, that they don't need, then I would say, this is a generalization and not, it probably way too broad. I'm painting with too broad a brush here, but let's consider this. If you have inefficiency, because look, you are more than 50% higher the cost per mile. And even if you use the toll roads, forget the toll roads, because I don't think it's the distance so much as, well, it is. But the toll roads only are appropriate for certain areas. So I'm not sure that they're a broad factor in this. They could be, but I don't consider that a broad one. But let's go back to this. If they're 50% more, then I would have to say, okay, how can I get my cost down? Because it looks to me like, am I sending? I'm just offering something and I'm trying to get to the facts, because if there's conflicting information, I think I need to know that. And I'm the novice here. If you are using a transportation that is possibly not appropriate for the trip, because we're using a big bus to haul a few people a few miles, and this isn't efficient, then we need to understand that. And that's really what I'm getting at. I am never going to criticize OCTA. I've compared them with Los Angeles. Believe me, they're head and shoulders above that group for sure. And so I see OCTA trying to use efficiency as best they can. But I'm just asking on this one, because seniors don't necessarily choose if they can avoid. They do not choose buses. That's my observation.
Well, this isn't based off, I would say.
This is medical.
This is all medical, yeah. But so a lot of them may not even take the, a lot of it is not really OCTA, if you're basing off OCTA.
Okay,
these are fine. Separate transportation groups.
And could you tell me, the reason I'm really getting into this, and I really, this is all very helpful. There has been some discussion in our community to change over to AgeWell. And AgeWell does send a lot of buses. And so is it possible to know, pardon me, is it possible to know the bus groups that you're using there? Where would I find that information?
I'm not sure. I can ask Jeanette that question, Ashley, and provide her with the inquiries and everything like that. But I don't know what type of vehicles they would use. I'm pretty sure they're ambulatory vehicles.
Lifts? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, with lift or any type of medical aid in that type of vehicle.
Okay.
Buses, I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure if they use buses or not specifically. But I will ask Jeanette to see what type of vehicles they have provided. But
the
efficiency in that is that they're required to use the fastest route based on time and for the least amount of miles if it's more efficient with the miles, if the time is the same.
Correct. But if Do they get free access to the toll roads?
No.
Okay, so pardon me, then that, if you've driven the toll roads, they are very pricey. I myself don't even use them because I think they're too costly, but that's another argument altogether. Okay, so back to what I'm saying. I'm not trying to take a position so much as I'm trying to understand how efficient each of these is. And so when you're doing this, and I don't want you to do a lot of work on it, all I'm curious about is, you don't even have to say who they are. Let's say there were five different transportation sources, then that would be helpful to know, or there were 15 or whatever. And then if you had a general idea of what those transportation sources are, I'm not asking you to do another report because I appreciate what you have here. Thank you for your help.
Sure.
Would they ever be able to apply so they could use the toll roads for free, Ben?
That I'm not sure. It's based off contract. I don't think they can negotiate a contract with the toll owners because the toll, I'm pretty sure, is owned by probably the county or the city. I'm not sure who owns it. But
TCA owns the toll roads.
TCA?
Yes.
I would think they should go to them and I don't know, request some kind of a program where they could get free usage on the toll roads.
I wonder how much we're talking about.
I don't know.
That would be interesting to know if that's something else.
That would be a big savings, and they could go a lot faster and go more miles or something, be more efficient, I guess would be the best word.
Hey, Sandy, Jean, why don't we do this? Why don't we have a rep from each of those agencies, OCTA and TCA, and come and explain the options that our seniors have and everything that's out there, not just their agencies. I know OCTA has info on all those groups. And we'll be able to quickly tell you, here's what they cost. You decide what's efficient for you.
That's a good one.
Also, just a lot of these tolls, like the 73, have already been paid for 10 times over. And so, you know, maybe because they're not having to put it towards the cost of repayment to their cost to build it, then they should be able to negotiate on some point.
Oh boy,
that's a whole other discussion.
A whole can of worms on that
yeah,
one.
That's a whole other discussion.
So to your point, Jean, would you like to do that for your month when you do the presentation on transportation? Do you want to see if you can get something with
your
OCTA? I mean,
what month?
I think you're down for, I forget. Was it April or May? I don't have the presentation schedule.
I'll look for you.
Yeah, just let me know, and yes, I will.
May.
It's May. Okay, do you want to do that for May? I think should it be a separate presentation for each one? One from TCA and then one from OCT?
No, I say let's have them both.
Have them both? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's a great idea. I like that. Let's do that for May if you can.
That'll be May 12th, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Got it.
Okay. Any other discussion for Ben?
I just wanted to point out that I'm looking at the stats that were provided to us in January for the month of October, and those numbers are actually, in fact, higher than the ones we're looking at for November. So it's you have to really look month by month. I assume that might be impacted by Thanksgiving or some holidays in there, but the numbers were greater in October than in November.
Thank you. Ever since I've been on this committee, this has kind of been where we accept the presentation, but we all have many questions because you look at the inefficiency of the dollars. It's not that I don't want people to have rides, I do, but and I know we could never do this, but if we were to take Uber or something, we could get way more rides than this because the average trip cost would not be $51.46.
It's the Lyft too that becomes an issue though.
Exactly.
But you're right. No, you have a good point.
And so that's always been a bone of contention, but it is back to the Lyft, and these are non-emergency medical transportation trips. So they couldn't go in Uber or Lyft or any of those, but you're exactly right. Okay, anything else? Thank you, Ben. I bet you didn't expect all those questions.
Oh, that's perfectly fine.
Appreciate it. And you are well prepared. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, we'll go on to item number 6 is our presentation. And we asked Helen Cameron, who was an expert in the field, a lot of experience and background as a developer, to give us just an overview on anything she wanted to talk about on housing, pretty much an update. So Helen, whenever you're ready.
Okay, I'm gonna go to my screen, sharing, hopefully.
All right.
Do you see something?
Yes, I do. It says okay. Thank you.
It's always a good sign.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. So thank you for the opportunity to talk today, because I know that's the focus for us is senior housing. And specifically, I'm going to talk today about affordable senior housing. I want to, let me move people's pictures out of the screen as I talk. I want to give you a little background about Jamboree. I've been part of the Jamboree team for the last 11 years, and Jamboree is a nonprofit organization, and we were actually formed by the City of Irvine, which you might find surprising because you don't always think about Irvine as being the source or the way that the city developed affordable housing. But our mission is to make sure that people have affordable housing and services to keep them living in their homes and transform their lives, essentially. And I could probably tell you hundreds of stories about the way this housing transforms people's lives. One of the other things about Jamboree is that we are one of the largest nonprofit developers of affordable housing in California. So we develop, we have about 24,000 residents over the 30 years, including a lot of veterans and a lot of seniors. So you can see from this image that most of our housing actually is what we call workforce housing, and it's for families who don't have a lot of resources. And I'm going to specifically talk today about affordable housing for seniors. And that's, as you can see from these numbers, it's a small proportion of the housing that Jamboree develops throughout the community. And you may know us, some of you I know us in the context of developing housing for formerly homeless individuals. Again, a very small part of the overall affordable housing that we develop. Some of you may recall that a few years ago, United Way and Jamboree combined on looking at homelessness and the reasons why people became homeless. And I think it's really pertinent to what I'm going to talk about today and what this cost study that was done through UC Irvine showed. The main reasons why people were homeless was not, as we often think, substance abuse or mental health. It was actually having been evicted, receiving a foreclosure, and the high cost of rent. So that was a real significant takeaway. So when you hear people say, well, all those people who are unhoused in Orange County, they're there because they abuse drugs and have mental health issues. That's actually not true. That's a myth. So I want you to have that as a takeaway. And part of the reason why that's really important when we talk about senior housing and affordability. Yesterday, I think in the Register, they published the vacancy rates for the housing in Orange County. There's 2.2% vacancy at the moment. So if you are trying to rent and you have unlimited money, it's really hard to find a place to use that rent income. So that's the biggest dilemma why people are we are finding falling into homelessness, and we certainly see it with our senior population. At the last count of homelessness, there was over 612 seniors who were unhoused in Orange County. So it's a big impact on individuals. And I think we can all agree, if you're in your 70s, 80s, and 90s, you should not be living in a car or on the streets. So I'm going to show you some of the housing that we actually have developed in the last few years. And part of the reason I'm showing you a variety of images, I want you to take away from my conversation today that affordable housing is beautiful. Affordable housing does not look like an encampment at the transit center. This is affordable housing. This is an example of housing that we built in Santa Ana and opened a year ago for veterans. And as you can see, it's a beautiful community. And it's not just housing for veterans, but it's also the services to keep those veterans housed. And as you can imagine, if you're a veteran coming from homelessness, you're more than likely to be a senior. That's the other reality, because you are coming to this community from having been living on the streets. And most of us can acknowledge that many, particularly Vietnam vets, didn't receive resources when they re-entered our communities, and they became part of our chronically homeless population. So another example of what's beautiful. So how much rent is affordable if you are a veteran and live here? Typical rent for a veteran is under $300 a month for their own apartment. That's definitely affordable. I'm going to show you some other images of some of the housing that we have developed throughout Orange County. And I'm going to try and just give you that impression that this is beautiful housing. So this is a community that Jamboree built on the site of the United Methodist Church in Garden Grove. And it's what we describe as a multi-generational community. So we have a senior residential building with 16 units and a family residential building. And on site, we have a Head Start program. We have a service center, including a medical clinic. All of these resources are for the residents, but they're also for the broader community. Just as at our veterans program in Santa Ana, the veterans can receive services throughout the Santa Ana community at that location. Residents of Garden Grove can come in and take advantage of the Lestinac free clinic. So these are very service-friendly programs. And the focus in all our communities to make sure that people stay housed and are able to age in place with all the resources to help them do that. Another community that we have in Anaheim, another example of a beautiful senior community, and this is all affordable housing. In Anaheim, we have 178 studios there. We acquired this property in 2017 and renovated it extensively at that time. Every one of our Jamboree communities has on-site resident services, and I'm going to talk in a minute about what some of those services are. Here's another example of a community that we, the city of Huntington Beach actually reached out to us. And we purchased this community in what we call it Emerald Cove. Again, a beautiful community made up of 164 studio and one bedroom apartments, very close to all sorts of services. And I love going to drop by there where you see the community really engaged in this community space. They have a fitness center, they have lots of social activities. Again, the focus is on keeping our seniors housed. Another community in Irvine is a mobile home park. We have 360 mobile home units there for seniors over 55. And the services there are once again making sure that people can age in place there and don't have to leave. These are all, what you're looking at is the renovation of the community building. And when you go there, you feel like you're in a resort. It's, you know, it's got amazing on-site services and resources for those residents. And very few vacancies we ever get at our communities, as you can imagine. And I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about this community in Mission Viejo, which is, again, a beautiful community, as you can see, made up of 143 one- and two-bedroom senior apartments. And you might be wondering, what is affordability in a senior community? So I reached out to our asset management department and said, okay, what's the range of rent that people pay in our senior apartments? What is affordable? So the answer was the range, and it of course depends on the unit itself and where it is. The range is typically between $783 and $1,443 a month for the unit. Many of our residents also have Section 8. So if they have a Section 8 voucher, they're probably paying $300 or $400 a month for that rent. So this is definitely an affordable program for people who can age in place with support services and stay in this community as long as they not needing more intensive, sometimes memory care units would be a reason why people would move. But typically the residents are a really stable population there. So how do we keep them stable? So I'm going to talk a little bit about resident services that are provided at Heritage Villas in Mission Viejo. So I was chatting earlier this week with the young lady who provides the on-site services there. And as you can imagine, in these communities, the emphasis is on social activities. So this image is actually of an event that was held on Tuesday. This was a way for the community to get together. They had a Valentine's craft party. They all made beautiful vases or ways to demonstrate. I think these butterflies are actually places to show off your necklaces and those other things that you might have in your community. And the whole community had an opportunity to not just socialize, but actually do an activity together. My husband mentioned, where are the men? Well, there were men there, but I didn't capture the picture of them.
I was just thinking that, Helen. I was just going to say, where are the men?
Yeah, well, there was one. I have one really great image of a man very intent on developing something for his Valentine. So that's just one example of what happens there at the community. They have weekly bingo, which is obviously always a popular activity. They also have a coffee chat each week where people, this resident service coordinator that works there, she said, well, I play the piano, so I entertain them. They have a food pickup to supplement their typically small incomes every first and third Friday of the month. There's a computer lab. And I love the next activity that they're planning in March is actually they're bringing an ice cream truck and everybody will be able to get their custom ice cream next month at this group. So all of these activities are coordinated through on-site staff that are there to make sure that the residents have what they need. And the issue that I brought up about transportation came up in my conversation because she said, It would be great if Jamboree could provide transportation for a medical need. I said, well, we have that. She didn't know that. So that's why I brought up that issue. And this is in Mission Viejo, where we know we have a robust senior center program, but she's the resident service coordinator for, you know, a couple of hundred people. She didn't know about this. So I think one of the takeaways might be that we would reach out to the senior centers in our community and make sure they know about this resource. So any rate, that's what's going on in Mission Viejo. Now you probably want to know what the next steps are, because we know we need a lot more of this housing. So I'm going to show you these. You're getting the first look at some of this. This morning, Jean and I were on a call talking about new senior housing and other housing solutions. And the city of Huntington Beach will be beginning construction on this new community within the next few weeks. We've got all the funding approved and very excited about this beautiful community right at the corner of Beach and right behind the Denny's there, if you know that area. We're going to be building a beautiful community that will blend into the whole area. It will be close to all of the amenities in that community, lots of open spaces for the residents to enjoy, including a public park that we're adding to this. And a few, couple more images of what it's going to look like from Beach Boulevard. And we're very excited about this because this is a really the first time that Jamboree has done exactly this kind of model, because it will not just be senior affordable housing, but it will have support services for seniors who are coming from homelessness. So this will be a population that we really haven't focused on. We've done a lot of communities for homeless individuals with wraparound services, but this will be actually in Huntington Beach focused on senior needs. And this will be about 43 apartments. And it will serve the low-income and formerly senior population. But one of the features of all of our new communities, it will have a large amount of community space where those social activities that I showed you at our Heritage Villas, something like that will be available to the residents. And particularly people who are coming from having been unhoused will really need all of those resources. So we're very excited to begin this new community of 43 apartments. And the size of them, they're one and two bedrooms. So they're nice places where people can live their lives as long as they can remain stably housed. And the typical rent here will be 30% of the area median income. So they'll be paying just a few hundred dollars a month. So affordability, stability, wraparound services. So that's the models that Jamboree does. I'm going to just show a couple of pictures. Every community really, we don't do something that you could refer to as cookie cutter. Every community is different. And I want to point out this community called Doria in Irvine. It's 134 apartments, a variety of ages and stages, but it also has 20 units there for folks who came from being unhoused with a mental health diagnosis. So each community, we try to customize it to meet that community need. And we're very excited about the potential to partner with cities and other communities to work on this solution. So we'll go to questions, and I'm happy to talk more about it. I can talk for a long time on this topic. So
excellent presentation. Thank you very much.
Quite a ride.
Beautiful projects that you're working on.
Absolutely. I'll go back and leave it at a picture of something beautiful.
There you go. All right, we'll start with Charlene.
Yes. Helen, it's good to see you, and you really are a superstar in our community. Thank you for what you do. One comment and one question. First of all, what I have found really inspiring is in the potential or the soon-to-be Huntington Beach project is the 1,800 square feet of park. So many of the properties, and we've seen this in our when we looked at our master plan, green open space just for seniors to go instead of always being inside. So that's a really beautiful benefit that I'm happy to see happen. And then my question for you is, so I'm getting old and I'd like to know, what's the waiting list on all of these properties?
Well, I think what we always find, it really depends on some of the funding sources. So this community in Huntington Beach, the residents, because they will come from being unhoused, they will come through the county coordinated system. Almost all our communities, the only way to find out about vacancies, and I always smile when I get this question, when we opened that Doria community in Irvine, when we fully leased up, we had 1,400 people on the wait list. So the wait list really is dependent on the community. And if you're looking for a particular neighborhood or community, you really need to go to the website, and we have a leasing agent at each one of our communities. And the senior communities do turn over a little more regularly than our workforce and family housing, but still not much availability. But when we build a new senior community, as we hope to do shortly in Costa Mesa, the wait lists will be managed collaboratively with the city so that they get preference for their residents. And so as we build new communities, there's an opportunity to sign up and look at an opportunity. And obviously, as we do a new community in Costa Mesa, Costa Mesa residents have first preference to get on that website. And
thank you, Helen.
All right,
I see Carol.
Okay, Carol. Yes, thank you, Helen. I too was concerned when I saw that you were going to tell why people are homeless, because I thought, oh no, I hear this so frequently. They're on drugs, they're this or that, and it is not true, not true at all. And I'm so glad to hear someone confirm that. I can't tell you, because I was actually waiting to hear the incorrect information, because I hear it so often. That is the fact. It is the cost of housing that keeps people out of this situation. It's totally a big issue. I did have one quick one, and I saw a number of units, my goodness, and they were lovely looking. Could you tell, where would I find the total number in the county of housing units? And I noticed, could I point out one other thing? I noticed this, those are all single people living in each house, aren't they? And yet, they aren't.
Well, seniors typically individuals and couples, and we have some two-bedroom
families. No, I meant this, the individual units. Thank you. I misphrased that. What I meant was, what we see in our community is people run out of money or they take in roommates. And I think somebody mentioned that last time. I think we discussed this about the roommate, how people are doing that. And yet I see in these units that they are single. But if one has been homeless, It takes a while to, I understand, to adapt and consider such a change. And I'm not even trying to suggest that. I'm just trying to see where things are going. But is there some place where I would have the total number of units in the county that cities, organizations like the Methodist Church, I noticed, I can't recall all the groups that were participated in this, that we would know? I'm counting all the mobile homes, all these units. Is there some place that lists that total number, Helen?
Yes, I think you'd find that at Orange County Community Services, they are the keeper of those data points.
Okay.
And they also coordinate with the healthcare agency now. If you're looking for an unhoused number, you're all signing up, I'm sure, to do the count.
Yes, I am. I've done it, and I'm going to do it again. Yeah, I'm familiar with the count, and I've done it. That's why I get so frustrated when I hear people telling me, well, these people are all mentally ill. No, I'm sorry, that's not true. I mean, all, not that you couldn't become that way at trying to deal with the stress, but it is what you said, very definitely. Thank you.
And Carol, just to clarify, my background is working with people who have severe and persistent mental health issues. So right. I definitely understand the specific needs of that population.
Sure. But that population isn't the dominant group. So thank you so much.
Gene's got his hand up.
Yeah, I wanted some clarification. Carol's taking a pretty hard position that there's no drugs or mental problems with the homeless. And that is absolutely not true.
No, I'm not saying that.
We did that. Yeah, we did. Well, hang on a minute, Carol. Let me finish. We did a study on that in North County, and it was divided into three groups, very specific groups. And that is an issue. So I don't want to just make sure that we don't fall subject to, well, housing will end the problem of homeless. I don't believe it will. I think you still got mental issues and you got substance abusers.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a problem, too. But that's not that. I don't know if in South County it's not dominant or what the ratio is. I know in North County how it is. So I would be careful to don't say that that's false information. It's not.
No, I did. If you thought I said it's false, I did not.
I
say,
did.
Okay. I what I'm trying to point out, and I'm glad you caught this because we need to clarify it. What I want to say, maybe I should did not state it clearly. What I want to say is I hear, oh, well, they're all mentally ill. They are not all mentally ill.
Of course not.
We see people on our corners that are mentally ill, and it appears those are the only homeless. The problem is they are the tip of the iceberg. There are hundreds more living in their cars. They're in the supermarket. You bump into them and don't even know it. They're in your doctor's office with doctor's appointments. My doctor said it. He couldn't even have surgery on orthopedic patients because they had no place to go. No one knows it.
But you're right.
I wonder if I could do a presentation on housing solutions for exactly the population, Gene, that you're describing. That population who do have substance abuse and behavioral health issues need a different solution, a different housing model. And we
saw that, Helen. I was part of the group that went to San Antonio. I actually saw that, how that is.
We have it in Orange County, and Denise can definitely speak to that topic too. But we have a solution. It's called supportive housing. It's a different model. But it is housing. It's housing first, and then you wrap the needed services around the people. But that's not what I described today. Some of what I described today in Huntington Beach is going to be supportive housing.
Yeah, I appreciate that clarification, Helen. I think what needs to happen is we need to wrap that conversation in this dialogue so people don't lose sight of that fact that different housing needs, because it was coming across clearly as, well, let's put all the homeless in a house, we've solved the problem. And clearly we have not.
If we put them in the right housing and we use the model of housing first, and I want to very specifically make sure you understand, housing first is not housing only. Housing first means you put someone with a severe mental health issue in a unit and you make sure they have the resources to stay housed. And we have a model in Anaheim that we built, thanks Denise, called Diamond Apartment Homes. It's been there for 11 years. 100% of the people who moved in there are coming from what's called chronic homelessness, meaning they lived on the streets for more than a year, many of them for a decade or more, and they are stably housed. The success of that model is in the high 90%, almost everybody stays housed.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of that. And Buena Park and Placentia also have a housing, crisis housing, where you take them immediately into a center and then figure out where they're going to go from there or what they're going to deal with. I don't think those are actually long-term. I'm talking about ones that you immediately have, like the PD responds and has to get somebody off the street, and they have to have options where to take them. And then from there, they'll be triaged to figure out, okay, what is your specific need for that kind of housing? That's excellent. I think I don't want to short circuit or minimize the dialogue. You have to actually include all that, and it makes perfect sense. And I think that is the answer. Thank you.
And then Carolyn, could you just talk briefly about the importance of, in any kind of housing we provide, that there are services on the site? Because I think some people aren't aware of that. And that's, I think, key to these units being successful or complex. Right.
Yes, and we certainly agree at Jamboree that having some staff there who are trained and educated in what the community resources are, knowing about transportation if you have a medical need, helping people deal with the social isolation of COVID. You know, that's been a huge issue for our senior communities, making sure they have resources for food. If you don't have a staff member there, that doesn't happen. So we believe that is the answer to Sandy.
Yes, I think so, from everything I've read. Any other questions for Helen?
Sandy, by the way, also, I did get a hold of OCTA. They will have a speaker for us in May, and I'm in the process of getting the same one from, or a speaker also from TCA, and they're working on that right now too. So this will be perfect for that transportation component we're talking about for our seniors.
I'd like to know what took you so long.
I'm trying to listen to you guys as well as make a call. That's what took me so long.
I just noticed there's a question from Linda in the chat.
Sorry, I didn't see the hand. Go for it, Linda.
And Linda's asking, and thank you for acknowledging, they are beautiful. We do believe that. Certainly, we have a history of hearing from neighbors, depending on what the community is, and almost all our communities. We want to be transparent in what it is. And I'll never forget when we developed our first community in Anaheim, Diamond Apartment Homes. We had 200 angry neighbors at the meeting. 10 years later, when we celebrated the 10th anniversary of that building, PBS reporters walked the neighborhood. This is a community that housed people with mental health issues and coming from homelessness. 10 years later, not one of the neighbors knew what it was.
Wow.
They thought it was market rate housing. So if we can show this model and show what it looks like and why it works, we can educate the community. But that's part of why I'm talking to you today. We need to get the word out.
You know, it's funny you say that, Helen, because that's exactly what happened to our affordable housing. It was so nice that all of a sudden seniors in our community were saying, hey, just what Charlene said, hey, I'd like to consider, can I get on a list or how do I get to a place like that? It was interesting. I thought, well, that's a success.
Absolutely. And we need a lot more of it. So our job is going to be to advocate and to educate the neighbors about what this is and why we need it. We cannot have our 90-year-old neighbors sleeping in a car in a parking lot.
No. Every complex you showed us today was, I would live in any of them. They're gorgeous.
Absolutely. That's what we say. If we wouldn't live there ourselves, we're not building it.
There you go. That should be your motto. Anybody else have a hand up that I didn't see? Oh, Juno has his hand up.
It is not a question. I'm trying to interject some interesting of findings to you. As you know, we have many Asians living in Orange County, and the economy is really closely related to between Asia and here. What's happening in Asia is that the price of the housing shot up so high that the government had to step in to control. What the government is trying to do is raise up the property tax so up so much that the people cannot sell the house at the higher price, and the impose the so high a sales tax so that the people cannot sell the house as well. That's the way they try to control the housing prices there. What is happening is that the seniors who live in Irvine, they are stuck with the apartments or the house over there, and the rental units, the prices are going down really fast, that they cannot receive the money they receive every month. So therefore, the people who lives in Irvine or in Orange County, they are having a difficulty of coping with their living here in the state. They might become a homeless in certain situations. At this point, I'm facing with the family that do not have that enough money to buy the food. So I'm going through the route through the churches and what have you to collect the food, especially the ethnic food for them. So it is a different aspect of the economic situation, but this is what is happening in my community. Thank you.
May I ask a question of Juno? Because Juno, I have listened to your comments now for several weeks, and I have to tell you, I very much appreciate learning from you. It sounds to me, are you saying, because this is what I think I'm hearing, maybe it's not what you're saying, I'm hearing that people from Asia are renting their house and coming here to live, and now the rents that they were getting for those properties is not sufficient. Is that what you're saying? Thank you.
Could I just offer an alternative approach for the food? Call 211. Are you all aware of 211?
Yes.
Yes, I do. But it is easier for me actually to solve the situation in my own way, giving a phone call and go pick it up and deliver it to you, so that the people don't get ashamed or embarrassed about the situation.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention, Juno. And by the way, 211 is having an event tomorrow. For some reason, the date is 211. So they're having a call tomorrow where they're talking about initiating a new community-wide response to all the issues we're talking about this morning, a community information exchange, because I think that's one of the things that we've been talking about, access to information. So Google 211 and get on that Zoom call at 9 tomorrow morning and hear more about it, because I think it's something that we desperately need in Orange County, is better communication about the resources that are available.
Yeah. One thing I have noticed while I'm speaking is that as you see, I'm getting older, and I'm married to a Korean lady, watching Korean TVs and YouTubes, and eating ethnic foods. As therefore, my speaking ability is going down to the drain. I cannot eloquently you know, speaking the issue. I cannot remember the SAT words anymore. It's a strange thing, but I guess that's the age. That's the age related problem. But I'm stuttering and I cannot explain it really, you know, eloquently. And thank you.
I think we got it, Juno. We understood and we heard you. And thank you for being the advocate for this community.
Right. And we have wonderful food banks too, Juno. Even if they don't want to go individually, maybe you would help them out and go, or however you want to do it. All right. Did I miss any other hands or comments? Well, thank you, Helen. That was a fabulous presentation. I knew you'd bring us good information, and I love all the projects. I couldn't say enough about them. They're absolutely, like I said before, I would live in any of them. They're gorgeous. And that's what we need, is beautiful housing, so we can start solving. I know we can't solve all the problems, but we can certainly work on solving some of the problems. Thank you very much for preparing that. I appreciate it. It was excellent.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll go on to item number 7, chair items, new business. So I've got down review California Master Plan on Aging, 5 goals for 2030. So those of you that are not on SCAC, were not privy to this, and I know it got kind of confusing, and I missed the meeting last year when they did the goals. But my understanding is that the governor asked for 5 goals that we can work on as a group. And for housing and transportation, we're responsible for goal 1 and 5. And these are broad and general, but if you go into the plan and look at it, then there's strategies that go with these. So goal 1 for us is housing for all ages and stages. And then goal 5 that we're responsible for is we will have economic security for as long as we live. So this is coming from the SCAC members. This is what they brainstormed and came up with. And then, as I said, I think Denise sent it out to everybody because I'm having trouble with my computer again, but she sent out the whole plan of the goals 1 through 5. And then you can also go on the website and look at all the details of the strategies of the goals. And if the group is in agreement with this, we used to do this. We would put our goals that we came up with as a group. We didn't do this for the governor in the past. But I think they should be on our agenda each time so we're reminded of what we're responsible for. So I'm open for discussion if anyone agrees or disagrees with that idea. Any comments? Jean, do you have anything?
I think that's a good idea, Sandy. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. I just think they get lost if we don't see them all the time. I think we forget about them. Sort of like when
people, I agree.
Sort of like when people put together their mission statement and then they put it in their folder and it goes away and everybody forgets about it.
You know, I love people that put together a mission statement and I ask them, so what is your mission statement? Oh gosh, I don't know. I'd have to go read or look at. That's no mission statement. No. then you haven't answered the why of why you exist.
Exactly.
In other organizations, I always told them to put it on your agenda at the bottom so it reminds your members and everything. But Sandy, aren't they going to be updated? Because we just had that SAC meeting and that will be forthcoming, our new set of...
I'm sure they will, and then I'll change them as they come along. But I just wanted to put them back on here because yeah. I think last year, since I missed the meeting and then... It changed. It, to me, it got very confusing. And there are so many members that aren't on SCAC. And so they're kind of left out and don't know what we're doing.
I agree. We talked about that a couple months ago. I think it's appropriate and a wonderful idea. So thank you.
And I noticed it when I was not on SCAC that, you know, all of a sudden they'd start talking about something and you're like, what are you talking about? So we have to remember to include everybody and everything. Did you have something, Elizabeth? All of a sudden, I saw your beautiful face.
I was just reading what Jeanette said. If you go to chat, You can read, Jeanette is ready to answer any questions.
Okay. Were there more questions for Jeanette?
Hi, everyone. I'm so sorry I'm late. I had a last minute meeting and Vin ended up covering for me for the senior non-emergency medical transportation. He did relay that there were some questions. If you guys have some time right now, I could answer some of those questions. But I know that we're talking about the plans for this fiscal year. So, you know, I don't want to intervene on that. I can wait until later on. If you want,
you know, Sandy, if I could jump in and answer Jeanette on that one. That Jeanette, we were really talking about the stats, and Vin did a very good job, by the way, covered it thoroughly, just like you normally do. The question arose, though, why the discrepancy in mileage costs, which then led into what other options do we have for transportation in the county, which then led us into getting for our next meeting in March, we're going to have speakers on from OCTA and TCA. What are our options for senior transportation? What is out there beyond their organizations? You know, everything out there, whether it be a taxi, and TCA is a little more nervous because I said, yeah, there was questions why the cost is as high as it is. And what can we do for seniors? Is there a senior discount we can get or senior driver free? So my colleague on my council is the president of TCA, and she was at their meeting right now as we speak. So very timely. Good job.
So thank you. Oh, sorry. Let me know if I can answer it right now or if you want to wait until after.
No, anybody have questions? If you're here, let's go for it. Who has questions?
Thank you guys. So I can just recap what been relayed as the questions. So and it does have to do with cost first. So let me answer Jean's question first, or you know, everyone's question when it comes to the cost. So since the outset of the pandemic, we have actually adjusted the fixed rates per mile that we have for all four trip types that we have for SNEMT. And that's just to cover increased sanitation costs, increased costs for PPE. So all of that, and of course now with inflation too, so that's all just a temporary rate adjustment. Unfortunately, like we all thought that the pandemic is temporary as well. Here we are 2 years in, right? Or going on 3 years. So that one is, it does get reviewed and extended on a quarterly basis. So it started with the first quarter of the pandemic. And then it eventually just kept getting reviewed. And right now, because it does also tie closely to the masking mandates of the FTA. So as long as that's still around, we use that as another reasoning or justification when we do go to our funders, which is HCA and OCTA, when we ask for these rate, the temporary rate exceptions, basically, or approval. So that's all backed and approved by both our funders. So that's why there's a slight increase. I know that if you compare it to 2 years ago, it's significantly higher. But that's not the case. Hopefully in the future, once we're out of this. And then another thing that I wanted to note is these rates are going to be a little bit different moving forward in the new fiscal year, because we now currently have an ongoing bid for it. So, you know, and I can't talk much about it because it sits in the evaluation phase, but we are entering into a new 5-year contract with whoever is going to be awarded the new contracts for SNEMT for 2022 onwards for 5 years. So that being said, I'm just going to go over some of the questions from earlier. So the question one is, what type of vehicle does Abrazar and Age will use? Are they all vehicles with lifts and or ambulatory type vehicles for medical transport? So yes, that's a short answer, is not all vehicles have tie downs and wheelchair ramps, et cetera, but we do have vehicles that are available for that have wheelchair tie downs and or wheelchair ramps. Now there's We might not be able to transport all types of mobility devices, like because they have different mobility devices have different tie down requirements. So for the safety of the other passengers and of course the property of the whoever has the mobility device, we let them know. We let our clients know, our participants know which mobility devices can be transported. So, for example, I think one of our providers might not be able to transport scooters just because they're on like a three, like it's not like it doesn't meet the 3-point tie down, and our funders are aware of that as well. But for the most part, everyone that has mobility issues can be transported. We do offer four different types of trips, and they cover ambulatory and non-ambulatory types of trips. So the second question that I have is, could the county and the providers negotiate any type of contract that would allow providers to use the tolls at a low or free cost, mostly based off area that has toll roads? So our providers, they are all actually, or our current contracts are all on a fixed rate per mile. Fixed rate per mile basis. So based on the trips that we have, so ambulatory trips, you know, have a fixed rate per mile, non-ambulatory, the same thing. And if they decide to use, if they decide to use toll roads, that, you know, whatever they propose to us, that should already be covered in the fixed rate per mile that they have. And I know that has a question. Bear with me a moment. Let me go through my the four questions that I had, and then I'll take everyone's question after. And then the third question that I have is, how can we inform other potential clients of transportation assistance? So this one is actually, you know, we have it in our website. We do publicize it in our social media accounts, and you know, of course, our providers also have it in their websites. And, you know, of course, if they have social media accounts, if you know anyone and you are in doubt as to what, you know, where to refer them, the easiest way to refer them to, or the easiest point to refer them to, is the Office on Aging Information and Assistance Call Center, because that's like a one-stop shop. We could refer you. And it's not just for transportation. That's for anything older adult. So if someone's looking for a caregiver, someone's looking for housing or whatnot, we can refer them to the right department. And the last question that I have is, how efficient is the route that the providers are taking? So this one, you know, it really depends on the time of the day. And we have a review process, and Ben is actually very heavily involved in that. You know, I thank him every day for reviewing that. He does do a fine, like he does go through all the, because essentially our providers submit trip sheets to us every month. And Ben's job is every month, before we even approve any of their invoices, we go through that, or he goes through that with a fine tooth comb to see, you know, what, you know, the routes are efficient, if he has any recommendations. So he compiles the list of, like, say if he identifies some routes that are a little bit better, he does compile it and sends it to the providers to let them know, hey, look, you know, these are different ways that you can get from point A to point B, you know, for future, you know, trips. And then Denise, I can go take your question now. Sorry, thank you for your patience.
I think it was noted that we wanted to know, I think Carol asked about all the different transportation options for seniors across the county, because I know that Anaheim has senior wheels and they are competitive with the $2 one-way trip. So would that be counted into your survey?
No. So for our survey, is it like the customer satisfaction survey that you were referring to, Denise, perhaps? Okay. So the customer satisfaction survey is mainly geared towards our transportation program, which is the senior non-emergency medical transportation. However, there is a question there in our survey that states, you know, if you didn't use our transportation services, how did you get to your medical appointments, you know, from July 1st until now? Because that's the beginning of the fiscal year, right? So you know, we have the option to either, you know, they have the option to say they drove there or a friend or family member drove them there, bus or access or Lyft or Uber. And they also have like senior services van or senior center van. So they have that option. And what we can do is once everything, I think everything that that gets answered at the end of the year is all compiled in one report. And, you know, I usually share an infographic at the beginning of the fiscal year for that. But if you want to include other data points, I'm more than happy to share that with the group as well. So at least you kind of know what they do when they don't use our program. Does that make sense? I'm sorry.
It does. I just, since Anaheim is so huge, would the contract be more favorable knowing that they are going to possibly increase by, you know, tens of thousands of seniors included in those contracts than to negotiate outside of Anaheim's program? Is that ever a consideration?
So for consideration on this particular program, the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation, we do get a lot of comments about, you know, other trips, et cetera. You know, are you ever going to open it up for non-medical trips, right? Because that's the issue. It's like a lot of people want to go to their hairdressers or barbers or bank or groceries, right? I know OCTA has their own separate program called the Senior Mobility Program. And we did broach maybe opening this up a little bit more with OCTA, but unfortunately because of the dollars or the funding source, so these are directly tied to Measure M2 or Measure M and the tobacco settlement revenue. And based on those things, Measure M I think is something that got voted on, that's strictly covering, at least for this program, strictly covering just non-emergency medical transportation. So we won't be able to open it up maybe for other trips. However, like I said, there are other, you know, there are other programs not being run by the Office on Aging, unfortunately, for other, you know, cities. I think the SMP is mainly for cities, like the dollar amounts are earmarked for cities, and it depends on the cities how they want to implement that. We do have another program that mainly focuses on transporting seniors to and from the congregate meal sites whenever they're open. Because right now, not all of them are open. So we do have that, we're funded through that, but it's a completely separate program and contract than the SNEMT. I hope that kind of answered the question. I'm a little bit all over the place. I'm so sorry. It's like one meeting or another here. And I'm, you know, I really wanted to join the meeting because I wanted to just answer these questions now instead of having to wait another month, right? Because who knows what our focus is going to be next month, right? And does anyone else have any questions?
Did we answer all of them? I think so. I don't see any more hands. Well, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate your...
Oh, no problem. I will stay on until the very end if you have any questions or if you want to, you know, have any questions offline. You know where to find me.
Thank you so much. And then we'll go to 7B, which is old business. We need to work on recruiting new members. So I'm going to ask each of you to start looking for your friends or buddies and try to bring one person forward. So each of us try to bring somebody. We've had quite a few people that had to resign, and we have to keep our numbers up. So, and then I'm going to suggest when you bring your friend in and they get approved and everything, be a mentor towards them so they don't get frustrated. Because when you first join, there's, you know, all the acronyms and things that we've talked about that we just know, and other people coming in get a little overwhelmed. So what I always tell people is, you know, just pace yourself when you come in as a new person, because there is a lot that we don't realize how much we've learned. Oh, Charlene has a question.
So basically just a comment. I think the best way, or one of the ways, is to invite someone you know in the community to attend our meeting. Have them sit in and be, you know, an observer And then you can really start a conversation because there's so much information and so much expertise here. And so I think sitting in on a meeting or two and then having a conversation to bring a name forward is really helpful.
That's a very good idea. I like that. So we need everybody to bring a buddy or a friend. Hopefully they'll like us and join. Any other comments on that? Excuse me. Okay, we'll go to, excuse me again, announcements and roundtable. So let's start at the top. We'll go to Linda Barcelona. Anything you want to bring up or any part of the meeting or anything going on in your community you want us to know about? You still here, Linda? Maybe not.
She's here, she's muted, and she's waving her hand. She doesn't have anything else to bring up.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. Elizabeth, we'll go to you.
Well, all I can think of, it, if you're a SCAC member, be sure to send me your SCAC volunteer hours. There's a template which you have received, and I need your January hours. And if you were a member last year and didn't turn in last year's hours, we'll be sure to do that. And just email me if you think, oh, I'm not sure about last year. But anyway, I do need your January hours. If you're a SCAC member, okay. If you're not, don't worry, okay.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Helen.
Don't forget to sign up to participate in the point in time count.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm writing it down. I don't forget. Amelia.
No, I just want to thank you for that presentation. That was an excellent presentation. Mm-hmm.
Jerry, is Jerry on? Okay. Jean.
Yeah, I too want to thank Helen. She's a wealth of knowledge and it makes things very clear, and I appreciate that. It's a complex topic with, you can get overwhelmed real quick, which will then put you into a mode of throwing up your hands and doing nothing when there are things that we can do. We need to do that individually. So good job. I would say just keep in your thoughts and prayers the seniors that may have been displaced at Laguna Beach with the fire. So I'm sure they're going to be impacted by that. So keep that in mind. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Let's see. Juno, Kim. Kim, Juno.
He stepped away. He's not there.
Okay. Let's see. Jeanette, did you have anything else you wanted to say after you're answering all our questions?
I think I've talked everyone's ear off, but I just want to thank everyone for being patient with me. And yeah, and thank you, Vin, for covering.
Great. Thank you. For my part, I'm just going to say I really appreciate everyone's participation. You're a great group, and I appreciate everything you do for the seniors. So if I forget to thank you at the end of a meeting, it's still in my mind. I've been in a lot of committees and this is a really good group of people. So I appreciate all your efforts. Oh, Charlene has her hand up.
Yes, thank you. I did want to share that I had spent some time with our senior center director earlier this week. And I talked about the technology component that we've been bringing up time and again. Less than 12% of our seniors have email, access to email. And of that 12%, less than 10% of them ever do Zoom. So we still have a technology gap that we must acknowledge for our seniors. Face-to-face, knocking on doors, picking up the phone call, picking up the phone is really a very important way to do any kind of outreach with our seniors. That's really, it was disheartening for me to hear that it's that little participation with emails in our city. And one of the biggest concerns our senior center director mentioned was vetted shared housing. And so I know there are shared housing options, but to get them vetted for our seniors for safe shared housing is a real concern. And I just wanted to share that information with this illustrious group. Thank you.
Thank you. Elizabeth has her hand up.
I was remiss. I wanted to say what a wonderful presentation Helen gave, but she always does. I mean, it's her presentations are so wonderful. We ought to have more of them, maybe. But Carol Moore, she hasn't had a chance to speak.
Oh, sorry.
Nor have I. Sorry, I have to leave. I've just sent a message. It was certainly informative. I have learned each time from people who've added. Juno has added so many pieces of information that are very helpful. And thank you so much.
Is it my turn?
Sure, go for it.
Just a point that you should have received for the SAC members a new list of liaisons connecting you and your senior centers. And I am going to work on something with Elaine to maybe help us more communicate, but we do need to communicate with them. And if you find any issues that might be an issue, I mean, might be something that you should bring back, please bring back, email I and Elaine so we can start to address them. So thank you.
Thank you. Maybe we need to figure out, and I don't know what this is, I have to think about it, but there should be some kind of system that we're using with our being a liaison with our senior centers, but I haven't figured that out yet. I'll think about it. Denise has something.
Yes, I wanted to say that one of the systems that I know of being on city council is to get involved with your actual senior citizen appointed committee to the city, go to their monthly meetings or whenever they have them, whether they're on Zoom or actually meeting together. Go to you on wheels, institutions are through the week or through the month for seniors show up, give them materials, answer their questions, actually a magnet that they can put on their office. It's a little yellow telephone and they call that number. And the county actually has it in all different languages. So it's not just and then also just participate on Nextdoor or other, maybe on your own or whatever, to tell people, oh, look, we just now started pickleball, or here we just are going to have Hawaiian days or whatever's happening at the center. So that way they can read those things or anybody could tell them about. Back to a recap on today. I think the biggest thing I really enjoyed, and of course, I've been with Helen a while now, and all that Jamboree Housing does, but you need to consult your planning departments, let them know that this is a very fine program that can partner with developers, even if you get 10% of seniors housing in the next projects, but you have to do it early. Do it when the at the city council and people are saying, no, no, we don't want that here. You need to be at the ground level. And maybe go to the Jamboree website, see what's coming in the future. So push back the neighborhoods, whether it's a veterans project, honestly, and over veteran projects that have gone down in flame because the neighborhood was not welcoming of it. So those are all combinations of, you know, working positively and proactive for Jamboree and other projects that come to your city. We have to get 10 to 20% housing in practically every project that comes in Orange County, going to be sunk.
got there in double digits constantly, 10% push it, because you know to push back. So again, most of you should have gotten the master plan for aging, the 5 goals. If you didn't, I can send that to you. Also, there's not just the master plan on aging, there's the California master plan on aging. If you didn't get that, I can send it to you. And then of course, there is the Orange County report on adult seniors. There's so much information out there. It's just a plethora of opportunities for us to catch up and see what mixture works for us on this next project going forward for the next 4 years. And Sandy, it's a big lift, but like Jean said, as committee members, we really have boundaries and really keep that ball rolling.
The first part of what you were talking about, were you referring to like the senior advisory boards?
No, actually, there's committees that cities, just like there is a budget committee, you right. have youth, maybe Anaheim, just because there's some, you have a senior citizen committee that the different council members would be appointing because of their district or because of it's the big city. Jean, do you have something like that in your city?
I was just going to say, Denise, that's a great concept, but no, we don't.
Oh.
Cities are generally reluctant to add on another committee because one, it takes staff time. You got to create the members of that committee. And, you know, so they try to limit that, but that's certainly worth bringing up and say, hey, what do you think? It would justify it, clearly, but there's a lot of groups that want, like in our city, the veterans want to have their own committee too, a veterans committee,
right.
a commission. As right. when you say committee, I'm talking about commissions. And so a right. senior commission might be, you know, something we could try to sell.
The reason I brought these was, was Lake Forest, for example, and I know Mission Viejo does too. We have senior advisory boards. I mean, they might call them different names, and we publish that we're meeting, and I think we meet once a quarter. We never have any residents come to any of our meetings, so they don't have a clue what we're working on. Which is
we have a senior club where seniors can join it, and they do all kinds of activities. But what Denise is talking about is really more on the lines of a commission, where right. that has teeth, where you go there and say, hey, we need more low income housing, or seniors right. need microwaves in their housing, you know. That kind of thing would come up at those kind of commissions, and that's where they'd have more weight, because that would go to the council.
Right. Elizabeth's had her hand up for a while.
Right.
Okay.
We do have a senior citizen club, but like you're saying, like Dean says, this one is at the city level, so they actually report to the council members, and that's a bigger voice.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, Elizabeth. Now, in Mission Viejo, we had the Senior Citizens Activities Committee. It met once a month at the Senior Center, and you had to attend 3 consecutive meetings in order to be voted on whether you could be a member of it. I chaired it for a few years. And the guy who is now in charge of the city, he doesn't want us meeting. So for 2 years now, ever since COVID, we have not met. He doesn't want us participating, volunteering there. You say, well, why is that? He doesn't want you meeting. He doesn't want you volunteering. He doesn't want the Mission Viejo Community Center to look like it's filled with old ladies. So therefore, don't let him volunteer, don't have him meet, and maybe it'll bring in more younger people, you know, people in their 50s who otherwise would say, oh, I'm not going there. And I just think it's interesting. So many of us who were members of that Senior Citizens Activities Committee, we meet in the park Tuesday afternoons from 1 to 3. And but we don't accomplish anything. It's just a matter of getting together. So I wish I could say we accomplished something, but we're not. But
Elizabeth, was that under the city? Was the city staff assigned to your committee?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So they unplugged, the city unplugged from you.
Yes. Uh-huh. I think it's interesting.
That's interesting. We didn't meet for the first year of COVID, but we've been meeting now, and I'm volunteering at the senior center, and we haven't had, we've just continued on. I mean, we did have a year gap, but everybody had a year gap at least.
Right.
And that's a shame, because everything I learn here, I take to the senior advisory board, and a lot of that stuff gets out. That's how the information gets out.
That's
plus,
right.
Plus, they give me ideas, and I give them ideas.
So
what do they think the senior center is for? Isn't it for anyone over 50 or 60 or whatever the number is?
Well, I think I know his name so well, it's not coming.
Well, that's okay. We don't need to know.
Right. He just doesn't want the community center, which is the senior center, to look like it's a bunch of old ladies.
Okay.
See, so he's trying to make it look more youthful, vibrant. And so you are not going to see any seniors volunteering the way you did.
Well, and, it's a community center. It's not a senior center, right?
It's both.
You're right. And that's what he wants it to be. Yeah.
But those
well, it sounds people, like he just wants to do less work is what he, that's the issue.
But those are the people that have time that aren't working. The younger people are working. They don't have time to volunteer during the
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we had that issue with our community center, where it was primarily dominated by seniors because they had all the programs in there. So we ended up building another community center next to our new library. And that's more, that's what it shifted there, because regular groups could not even schedule an event at the community center during the day because it was populated by seniors, you know, the bingo or whatever they were doing.
Right. So yeah, we have separate buildings for community center and then a separate building.
That's what you need to do if you can afford it.
Yeah. I understand now, Elizabeth. I didn't follow that at first. Okay. Your hand's still up. Do you have more, Elizabeth?
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Anyone else? Anything that I missed or any other comments?
Okay. Juno's back.
Juno's back. Did you have anything you wanted to comment on, Juno, for today?
Yeah. The interesting things I have noticed, and then I forgot to mention it, is that in Korea, a lot of peoples, especially farmers, migrate to the city because they don't make any good livings. Therefore, there's a lot of empty houses in the province. So they don't have that much homeless problems. In the city like Seoul, I found that they have a lot of underground rapid systems, it's all over the place, so many lines. And these lines are really kept clean, really clean and modern. And they have a lockbox and each stations they can store. So what the homeless people do is store those blankets, whatever, in the lockbox, and they use the really clean bathrooms. In fact, the city hires to clean up the bathrooms. So what's happening is that you cannot actually tell the homeless people, hey, they really nice and clean. And it is different from what I found in the state. It was amazing. It says, wow, man, you know, this is the way it's done. And another thing of what I found is that the realty holders, they remodel the rooms into so many, and then the room is so small that the bathroom and kitchens are combined. Bathroom and the kitchens are it's the same thing. And they are renting it at the so much money, and they make money, but then the homeless people have some place to go. You know, it is not imaginable in the state here, but those are kind of things that I found talking to and watching YouTube's out of Korea.
You know, Juno, that's interesting. The issue, what you're describing is a cultural issue where Asians have always revered and taken care of their seniors to the point where they would live in their own homes. America grew up with just the opposite of, hey, when you're 18, you're out of the house, you're on your own, go get your own place. So we didn't have that. Our cultural mindset is not to do that. And that's what you're up against. And that's what I would love to see us gravitate more towards, that model, because we would really, when you think about it, why is anyone homeless when they've got families or should have families? Why aren't the families taking care of these people? Because A, they're either dysfunctional, they're divorced, or they don't live together, whatever, because that is our culture. And it's sad. It really is sad. So I look to the Asian culture as a model that we should be gravitating towards.
Gene, but that has changed. Now the living cost is so high, and the education where the Asian peoples are really into is so expensive. The young people cannot take care of their seniors. The respect, the Confucianism is banished. I think that when the Coca-Cola and the Elvis Presley, the dancing, the shaking his legs, destroyed the whole society. See, so, they're receiving this bad culture from the state, and they're copying it. And somehow the people worked so hard to become a country so quote unquote rich, everybody is into themselves. It's a copying the same way of the America the people think.
Well, you're hitting on some key issues that, and we don't. I hate to go on a tangent off the topic here, but it's spot on when you mentioned Elvis Presley gyrating his hips and whatnot. If you recall the song that came out, "Miss American Pie," that was the day the music died. There's a deal you can get on Zoom, not Zoom, on what is the other one? YouTube. And it walks down the lyrics in that song, and it shows pictures. And the day the music dies refers to February 3rd, was it 1959, when Buddy Holly died in the plane crash with Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper. And they said why they called the day the music died, because the music at that time was for dancing and listening and enjoying and making you happy. We get into the 60s, that music changed to more of the protest music, where music was not for dancing, it was for listening and protesting a cause. And it showed how we transitioned from that. And they show how our, you know, Martin Luther King, John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy were assassinated, and how we have now become jaded. We are a whole different mental society and how we look at things. And quite honestly, what you just said, we're more selfish. The bottom line is, first time in ever in human history have more people now not believed in God than did. So that's a sad commentary, because that means we have no moral set of taking care of each other or our fellow man. Now it's what's in it for me? How do I benefit out of this? That's a problem, but that's individual. And that's just me on my soapbox. So I'm just telling you guys, you do what you will with it.
All right. Let's go to number 9, which is public comment. Do we have any public? I doubt it. All right. So the next.
I'm sorry, Chair. We did not receive any comments ahead of time. And we do have one member of the public, but I believe she was an invite. Jeanette did invite a couple of guests. But if there's anybody, a public attendee, who would like to address the board or the committee, please use the hand raise icon and I will unmute you. And I see no hands raised, Chair.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So our next meeting will be March 10th at 9:30. Don't forget to report if you're going to be absent. My email address is on there. And if you have anything that you want us to discuss or new ideas, be sure and shoot those to me and I'll work on them and get them included. And once again, thank you all for participating. And it's a great group. And thank you for everything you do for seniors. So with that, we're going to sign off for the day. Thank you all. Bye.